Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday morning show where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine.
And we have the award-winning editor of Counselor Magazine.
Yes.
Thank you very much. We also have the award-winning Kathy Houston. We all learned yesterday that we won a host of awards editorially from the American Society of Business Press Editors. So, Kathy, you won an award as well, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Very cool. And Joe, you were part of many awards with Stitches and Wearables magazines as well.
And SGR.
So it's a big banner day here for us. We're in celebratory mode, but we also have
big banners too. Look at them. decorating the radio station.
We have a fantastic show planned for you here. We actually have an exclusive interview with sales and management expert Stephen Covey, who's going to be a keynote speaker at the ASI show in Chicago in July. And Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, real quickly, we have 8 ways to supercharge your productivity while working from home, 8 simple ways to get great media exposure. We also have a bit about managing millennials. We have our favorite products. But Andy, let's get right to the phone line and talk to Stephen Covey.
All right. Let's welcome into the show Stephen Covey. Stephen, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Nice to be with you.
Well, thank you very much for taking some time to be with us and to call into the show today. And also we're all looking forward to your speech at the ASI show in Chicago in July. I know that that's something that many of us are looking forward to, as well as the attendees. So let's get right to it. I know your core message is about trust, establishing, growing, and extending it with customers and employees. So what do you tell your business owners and clients of yours what they need to do to become that kind of trust powerhouse for their brand?
Well, the first thing is I really try to make the business case for trust. I mean, everyone knows trust is important, that it matters, but they've never thought of it in terms of economics. But trust affects the speed at which you can move and the cost of everything. So I make that business case because people solve business problems, and then I make the case that it's a learnable competency, something they can get better at as a leader or as a salesperson, as a team, as an organization, the ability to create trust. And they do that by focusing on, first, their credibility. Credibility is the foundation of trust, but then also on their behavior, how they do what they do as a means of building that trust.
All right, Stephen, while you were president and CEO, you nearly doubled revenue to over $110 million while increasing profit 12 times. That's in addition to making it the largest leadership development company in the world. What were some of the key ways you interacted with your customers and employees to make that rapid growth happen and be sustained?
Well, what we really focused on was, first, we had to get a great value proposition for our customer. We had to create value for the customer. But we also had to do it with a business model that worked for us. And when we increased the trust, I mean, we were growing, but we weren't profitable for a while. But when we increased the trust, first inside the organization with our own team, but then externally and included with suppliers and partners, but also with our own customers, when we increased the trust, we suddenly found that we could do everything faster and it cost us less. And then we started to get our clients to become referenceable clients, that would refer business to us. And when you get the referral business, that's word of mouth, and that's the speed of trust in action. You get a new customer faster and at less cost. And once these economics of trust began to play themselves out, that's when we started to become extremely profitable as well. And so that's why I know that this trust is not just some nice, soft, warm, and fluffy social virtue. It is an economic driver, and it affects your ability to grow as well as your profitability. So it's a profound performance multiplier that changes everything.
Okay, Stephen, next question. You teach that there are 13 behaviors of high-trust salespeople. Many of our listeners are salespeople, too, so please walk us through some of the key things a top salesperson does with each of their prospects and clients.
Well, I like to believe this, that the very first job of sales is to create trust, and then also to create value. But I think the trust even comes first, because people view the perception of value through the lens of whether or not they trust you. And when you start with trust, everything else is affected that they look at beyond that. All your behavior is viewed through that lens of, I trust this person. So I focus heavily on first, as a salesperson, first focus on your credibility, and that's both your character and your competence. because you can't be credible without both dimensions, both character and competence. But then these behaviors, these 13 behaviors you referenced, is where we really dive into just common sense things that sometimes are not the common practice. So behaviors like talk straight and create transparency and listen first, keep commitments, clarify expectations, and extend trust. It's kind of ironic that one of the best ways to create trust is by simply giving it, by extending it, and then trust comes back to you. So just basic common sense behaviors, but too often people do the counterfeit. So instead of talking straight, they spin. Instead of creating transparency, they have hidden agendas. Instead of righting a wrong, they try to disguise it and cover it up, and so forth. And so the behavior is just straightforward, but so often we get tripped up with these counterfeit behaviors that cause people to lose trust.
Hi, Stephen. My name is Melinda Lagos. Now, you've talked about different types of trust that corporations should build. As an example, you've talked about market trust and societal trust. Can you talk a little bit about some of these types of trust and why they're important?
Well, the whole premise, Melinda, is this, is that trust is built from the inside out. And so, in a sense, self-trust precedes relationship trust. It's hard to sustain trust with other people if at the end of the day you don't trust yourself. And relationship trust precedes the team or organizational trust. The organizational trust precedes the market trust. In other words, it's easier to sustain trust with customers or in the marketplace if there's also trust inside the organization. But if there's a toxic distrust inside the organization, at some point that distrust will bleed out, leak out into the marketplace or with customers. And look at it this way. It's hard to tell your people who you don't trust to go out and build trust with customers. But it's more natural and congruent and abundant to tell the people who you trust to build trust with customers. And because, you know, that flows from the inside out. So an inside-out approach to building trust is the most sustainable, the most effective. And then from the market, you continue to ripple out. If you think of the metaphor of the ripple effect, you ripple out into all of society. And we need more trust in society because we're seeing that increasingly we're operating in a low-trust world. And that tends to penalize everyone because everyone becomes a little bit more suspicious, a little bit more careful, more cautious. And so if we can be a model of building trust from the inside out, starting with ourselves as leaders, but then our team and our group and our organization, and then move out, ripple out into the market with our partners and customers and suppliers and distributors, and then you watch that ripple out into all of society. So that's the idea, is that there's many different levels or waves of trust, but the best way to do something about it is to work from the inside moving out.
So it really starts with you and your team, and if there's no trust there, then you've got to work on that first.
Absolutely. It's hard to sustain trust with others if you don't trust yourself, and it's hard to build high-trust relationships with customers if there's a toxic distrust inside the organization and on the team.
Stephen, we had a good question come in from one of our listeners that I think is somewhat along the lines of the things that we're talking about, so I want to throw this to you. It comes from David Garthwaite, and his question is, what is your best method to get negative attitudes, either from clients or employees or even friends, to move more to the positive, or are they just kind of a lost cause?
Well, you know, I think that in many cases you can shift them. There might be some situations in which it's just the person who's just decidedly negative. But I think that to the extent that you can get real and can confront reality, confronting reality is one of the behaviors that builds trust. And sometimes people take the negative approach because they want us to confront the reality. Talk straight about it so that you're not spinning, you're not twisting, you're not manipulating. But you're confronting it, you're taking it head on, you're talking straight, creating transparency, again, one of the behaviors that builds trust is talking straight, so that you're authentic and real, that the combination of those things oftentimes takes the sword out of people's hands where they say, hey, you know, we're going to address these issues, we're going to confront it, we're not trying to hide or spin or manipulate this. And when people see that we're genuine and we're real and authentic about it, sometimes they become less negative, feeling like they don't need to be, that we're addressing it. Sometimes people are fighting to be heard with all the challenges that we're dealing with. In other cases, it might just be an attitudinal thing, and you just have to ask the question, you know, how's this working for you? and is it a better way of approaching your life or your business? And you know, some might feel that, that's just the best approach for them, but so often it's a matter of just looking at things with fresh eyes, with new eyes, and seeing things maybe sometimes almost for the first time as they see it with a fresh perspective. So a lot of that is it's hard to change per se, but you can often model how to approach things like that.
Okay, can you share some specific examples of salespeople and companies that are achieving sales success from high trust relationships?
Sure. Let me just speak to the salespeople. I just was with a sales organization who they had, you know, they have a long, complex sales cycles and industrial sales, and literally an 18-month sales cycle. And their whole goal was, if we could increase trust with our customer, we could accelerate the sales cycle. And their goal was to try to take that 18 months and ultimately cut it in half. Because if they can increase the trust, there's a speed that follows when people trust each other. See, speed happens when people trust. But if there's distrust, you've got to take all these steps to compensate and take steps to compensate for it. And so you can literally, through increasing trust with relationships with your customers, where they trust you, they trust both your character, and that's your integrity and your intent, your motive, but also your competence, your capabilities, your results. With that, you can increase the sales cycle. But you also, as I mentioned earlier, can increase the word of mouth process. And the word of mouth or referral sales is really the speed of trust is that in action. It's your customer telling your prospect that they should trust you. And there's really a transference of trust from your customer to your prospect. And your prospect becomes a new customer faster and at less cost. And it's really the speed of trust in action. And it happens all the time with professional service firms and other organizations where they're using referral business, referenceable clients, to accelerate the sales process. So this is very real. And I saw that the data from the Edelman Trust Barometer that shows that, you know, most people have to hear something 3 to 5 times before they believe it. Like 64% are at 3 to 5 times, with another 14% at 2 times. So that's 78%. They don't believe something at face value. Only 4% believe something when they hear it. But they have to hear it twice, 3 to 5 times, 6 times before they believe it. And that's taking you longer. And fundamentally, it's because they don't trust it. And the whole point is, if you can build trust so that people don't have to question or doubt or wonder or verify what you're saying, but you're trusted, you will accelerate the sales process and lots of other processes with it. And there's people that are doing it everywhere.
Stephen, I know lots of people get stuck in the mentality of, this is how we do things, why change? I think all of us have heard that before from employees and colleagues. Now, you assert that trust is the top sales competency of the new global economy. So in a nutshell, what does that mean, and what's one thing people can do to embrace that idea, whether they're salespeople or company leaders?
Yeah, well, in a nutshell, what it means is that if you start with trust, if you get good as a salesperson at building trust with your prospects, at building trust with your customers, with your clients, such that they trust you. And when, if you tell them, you know, our product or our service costs more because it's worth it, they believe you. Why would they believe you? Because they trust you. They trust your character, that is your integrity, that you wouldn't lie, that you're honest, and your intent, that your motive is truly seeking win-win. It's seeking mutual benefit. Yes, you want to win as a salesperson, but you want their win as much as you do their own. When people sense that, believe that, experience that, taste that, they tend to trust you. So that's your character. They trust your character, but they also trust your competence. And there's two sides of competence. There's your capabilities. Are you current? Are you relevant? Are you learning, growing, improving, getting better, staying relevant, both you and your organization, both you as a salesperson, but also your organization, your products, your services, your offerings. So you're constantly relevant. And then your results, your track record of performance. You always deliver, you perform, your team performs, your company performs. So there's a track record they can look to and say, they deliver, they do what they say they're going to do. And this salesperson does what he or she says they're going to do. That builds trust. And so you build that kind of trust with customers and prospects, both on the character side and the competence side, and then you're sharing with your client, hey, yes, we're more expensive, but here's why. It's worth it. They believe it in a different way than if you're in there just grappling and they're not quite sure if they trust you or not. So this is so basic and so foundational, and yet we often skip it, or we kind of give lip service to it. We kind of say, yeah, you got to build trust with your customers, but we never tell people how. So it's vital. Now, how? What one takeaway? I would say this. If you as a salesperson can first focus on your own credibility, and that's the focus on both your character and your competence, your credibility, that is the foundation on which all trust is built. And in the long run, a salesperson will never have more trust than he or she has credibility. So that's the foundation, and the credibility is the character and the competence. And I go even deeper in the Speed of Trust book into showing how there's four cores of credibility, two of which belong to character, two of which belong to competence. It's just a deeper dive. And that's the starting point for any salesperson, is to increase credibility, believability. From that, then you have the foundation on which you can build the trust as you add to it the behavior.
Great. Well, Andy Cohn is shaking your head here, so I think he's buying into
Yeah, the
this.
Credibility. There's no good salesperson who doesn't have total credibility with their clients.
Absolutely. And the best people have such credibility that they move fast, but they're not going to do things to jeopardize that credibility. They're going to preserve it and enhance it. It's absolutely essential.
Do you think some of that is a confidence issue for salespeople? Maybe, you know, they're just not confident in their skills or things like that, and so maybe they come off as not so credible?
I do. Yeah, sometimes there's no question that the confidence matters. And that's why, in a sense, I say self-trust precedes relationship trust. So if you want to build trust with a customer, trusting yourself is a starting point. And that self-trust, another way of saying self-trust is self-confidence.
Sure.
You think about it, trust and confidence in many languages is the same word. There's not even a distinction, like in Spanish and French, same word. In English, we have two words. So when you say self-trust, we're also saying self-confidence. You're exactly right, that for many, if you don't trust yourself, you're not confident in yourself, then how is the salesperson, or how is the client going to have confidence in you if you don't really have confidence in yourself? And so you inside out is the most sustainable. Now, look, none of us are perfect, and we're all not perfectly self-confident in everything and every dimension, but the point is that we're trying to say, we know what we're doing. I know what I'm doing. You can believe in us. And that's this credibility, that both on the character side, that you do the right thing, and on the competence side, that you do what you say you're going to do. And if you get that kind of reputation, that precedes you. It goes in front of you. And you can build trust far faster with people. And then the people will refer business to you because they trust you. And everything accelerates. That's why I call it the speed of trust, because speed happens when there's high trust.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And you've given us a lot to think about. And fortunately, we were going to hear a lot more from you in ASI Chicago. You're going to be delivering a half-day session on Education Day, July 15th. So we're very excited to have you. Thank you so much for giving us a preview today.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to be there on July 15th. And at that time, I've got some tools we're going to give people that will really help them, how they can increase their credibility, but also how they can behave in ways that will help them grow trust.
Well, that's fantastic. We can't wait to see you in July. Thank you very much, Stephen M. R. Covey. Have a great
day. You're welcome. Nice to talk with everyone on the panel.
Thanks, you too. So check out asishow.com. I'm very excited to go to the panel. I know we're going to have a great half day with Stephen Covey there. So check out asishow.com. He'll be appearing on July 15th. We're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, Hanes, and then Andy Cohn is going to give us the industry news.
Hanes Branded Printware has a new website designed specifically for screen printers and promotional product distributors. HanesInc.com features detailed product information and resources to help you make the most of Hanes t-shirts and fleece. For the first time, you can download high-res front and back hollows of every product in every color in the format and resolution you need. Apparel pages are organized by color and product line, so you can easily find exactly what you're looking for. In addition to high-res hollows, you will also find helpful sales tips on every product page. Each product is assigned a helpful return on investment scenario to illustrate the untapped return potential for you and your customers in every interaction. In our resources section, a dedicated return on investment page provides additional questions and insight to help you better understand how to meet your customers' needs with better products and better guidance. Visit HanesInc.com today for high-res hollows, sales tips, and many more resources.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. We just had Stephen M. R. Covey.
Good stuff on. From him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was great. And, yeah. You know, I think he's totally right. The trust issue is huge. I don't know how, you know, if you realize, I guess, I didn't realize how much that really is the linchpin in sales, I believe. And he's going to give us lots of great strategies.
It's totally, yeah.
Totally. It makes sense.
That. Yeah.
But then it's like, you know, I don't know how many people, you know, go through all the steps that he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see where there's a huge connection there. And I'm going to be interested to hear more on July 15th in Chicago. How about you guys?
I'm not sure salespeople spend enough time thinking about their credibility.
Yeah.
And things that affect their credibility and how that can impact their relationships with customers and their results, ultimately, obviously. But
Who doesn't want to speed up the sale and make things
right.
go quicker? And there's your key right there.
Right. Mm-hmm. They spend so much time pitching and in our
industry. Oh, well, I should show them this product
to,
or
right,
that product.
Trying to find ideas and doing those things, which are important as well, obviously. But the credibility of your business and a salesperson and how you relate to clients, there's probably nothing more important than that.
Yeah, and distributors are always asking us how they can differentiate themselves from competitors who may be selling some of the same products. Well, this is certainly a great way.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Andy Cohn, apparently you've got some news.
That's what I have. All right, we begin this morning
pregnant?
With product news. I have no personal news. The FDA announced last week that temporary tattoos can cause allergic reactions in consumers. The federal agency said that the items, popular with younger demographics, can cause rashes and blisters. While it has yet to be determined exactly what is causing this, the ad specialty market is having some mixed reactions to the news. Check out Promogram today for a full report. More product news now. California is close to becoming the first state in the U.S. to enact restrictions on single-use plastic bags. The new bill, which failed in the state legislature, last year, would impose a 10-cent fee to customers for every plastic or paper bag that they take out of large retail stores. The measure would begin to take effect next year. Top 40 financial news now. Wholesale sales, including promotional products at American Apparel, jumped by 7% in the first quarter of 2014. While the company's overall business dropped by 1%, the company said it has found growth in its wholesale and online channels. General economic news now. A new survey shows that small business spending is increasing. The BMO Harris Bank study reports that 20% of companies with revenues of less than $3 million are planning to hire new employees this year. That's a jump from just 13% at this time last year. Further, the bank says that loan approval rates are increasing and credit card usage is up among small businesses. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for today?
Oh, we got awesome apparel.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Including a patriotic hoodie.
Are you modeling any of the
of
apparel?
Of course he is.
Yes, one of the polo shirts.
Oh,
what about the hoodie?
So
no, I have that on a hanger. It would be, you know, no.
It
wouldn't you wouldn't
fit?
See the hoodie.
Well, you would be, you know, no.
You wouldn't see, you wouldn't see the
it would
polo
be not
shirt.
Fitting.
Kevin.
All right.
You mean not flattering?
Well, maybe it's the wrong size. Not that it's the right size and I'm too fat.
I didn't say that.
That
well, maybe it's way too big.
Let's move on.
Moving on now. Who doesn't want to be more productive? I certainly do. And Kathy Houston, you work from home from time to time.
Yes.
So you're the perfect person to tell us how to supercharge your productivity while working at home. Because I know you're not just sitting by the pool when you're working at home.
Or am I?
She
just
probably is.
JK.
All right, first off, add some life. So to your workspace at home, put a couple potted plants in, or it could be as simple as letting natural light in and opening the windows and breathing fresh air. Okay, Andy?
What?
You mean don't work in your closet. That's the first
That's
advice.
The first tip?
Yeah.
Don't work
well,
in the closet.
You're at home. Hopefully you add life to your home already.
Put
right.
a window in if you have
one. Oh, and it could be as
I'm
simple.
I'm hoping the tips get better for you.
Invite your pet in to your workspace.
See, I wouldn't recommend that
what?
For you. I wouldn't recommend that for you because she has a cat that kills rabbits daily.
And today was another day. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you want to have sneakers dragging in dead
and
bunnies while
I
you're
don't,
working?
I don't let sneakers in because he climbs all over the computer. So
okay.
That, I think that's a bad
tip. Number
tip.
Two right, because
tip number
okay.
one.
Okay, Andy, you're going to love this one.
Here we go.
I didn't make this up. Think carefully about color. For your home office.
What?
The color you select can have a powerful effect on your productivity.
No, wait.
Andy's is yellow.
Oh
is yellow
God.
A good color?
We have got to move on.
Wait. I want to ask a question, though, because, Andy, you do work at home a few days
I do.
A week. What color is your office?
Yellow.
And I'll tell you if it's good.
And if it's white, then we're going to...
Here's the thing. I don't even know. I think it's a tan. It's a, actually, I'm sure it's a tan colored wall.
All right. Well,
the walls are tan colored.
A little more yellow. I've seen it on
video. What I face is a huge map of the United States.
Okay. You should be facing that window instead.
Andrew?
I do get some sunlight that comes in, though.
Andrew, you need to paint your office green or all shades of purple.
No. I don't need to do that.
You do.
I'm sorry.
You do.
I don't.
You know, I think you could double your productivity. No wonder your
my productivity
is a little lackluster on the home days.
Okay, Andy,
wait, let's hope tip number three is a little bit better than the first and the
this?
Second, because those were no good.
Do you create a faux commute?
A what?
A faux commute.
Oh, wait. Eat. Look out, Jason. Here I come, Daddy. Oh.
What's that?
Well, it could be.
Pretend like he's driving to his office down the hallway.
What they're saying is that the commute to work is good for you, actually.
Oh, my God. We have to do better than this.
Actually, because it gets your brain thinking about things before
it
you start your
you
day.
Up, and
exactly.
Then it decompresses.
So just have a little
end.
Ritual before you sit down at your desk, Andy.
Such as what?
Curse at Donna. Get road rage. Get out of my way.
Yeah. Walk down the stairs and say, oh, that was a lot of traffic.
Don't just plant
you
yourself.
I hope the 7:15 is on time today.
I do that. Yeah, when I walk downstairs for my coffee.
Kathy's also the one that wakes up and looks in the mirror and says, I'm great.
No. I'm adorable.
Like
adorable.
No, she's been up a few hours. She doesn't sleep.
So anyway, what do you think about that?
No.
Okay.
Oh, one more
whatever
tip.
Happened to
one
just
more tip.
Sitting down and plopping yourself
one
in front of the
tip.
Computer
don't
and
you're doing it all wrong.
And getting something
don't
done.
Don't be cheap with the thermostat, Andy. Don't keep your heat down because warmth adds to productivity.
No, I would highly disagree with that. I hate being warm at every moment of every day.
You can find more of these great tips.
Andy, there's more of them. There's actually more.
You know what?
We're going to get to all of them.
We're going to do the audience a service, and we're not going to post that.
We are going to post that.
Because those tips stunk.
Yeah, or maybe
invite the squirrels in for lunch.
Go nuts.
Okay, so we are going to put those tips on www.asicentral.com/radio.
Hey, we should put this on Facebook.
And Facebook.
Just for people's tips.
You know,
I like that because I guarantee
think,
you we will get
well,
from
think,
the audience significantly better advice
yeah,
than what Kathy
just paint your office blue.
Like the color of your office and the sunlight that comes in.
Don't paint your office red. I'm just saying.
I wouldn't.
Okay,
I
so
would
Captain
never.
Killjoy.
I would never.
Ironically, Captain Killjoy disagrees with these nice ways to
do you agree with these?
Space.
Do
I, well,
you agree
here's
with those
what I would
as,
say.
As actually productivity improving tips?
Here's what I would say. If you know, if you're in a comfy, happy space,
yes.
Then you'll do better work.
Comfy,
if
happy.
If you're in a space where you don't know the color of the room, and you just go, oh, it's time to work. Then maybe you won't get as much done. That's all. You know, a little energy booster is good.
I'm not saying that
good.
You shouldn't
pretend you're
like
driving.
The space that you're in.
You don't know the color
but
of your
room. But a faux commute at, I did, it's a tan.
It took you
a
while.
Do it in
US.
A Corvette.
I was messing around.
Yeah. Beep, beep.
If you, but the
cruise
color of your room and a faux commute and ensuring of sunlight, we have to. You need better tips than that.
I don't work at home very much, but when I do, I like to work in my bedroom because it's a happy blue.
See that?
It makes me happy.
It's supposed to be purple or green,
and I do
green,
invite
though.
Pets in.
Well, all shades of purple.
Right.
I've
got
bluish.
All kinds of pets that could come in.
Yeah.
Dogs, cats, tortoise. Yeah.
The goldfish.
Depending on my mood.
I'm
going to
carry the aquarium upstairs.
All right. We're going to put those online. We
no,
can
we're
chat
not.
More about this on Facebook.
Yes, we are.
And, you know, tell us if you agree with Kathy and I or Andy and Joe. You haven't really said which position you're taking.
Oh, I'm with Andy. I've been said all
okay,
some
yeah.
Of
no, that's a huge surprise.
Girls
all right.
Against boys.
We have just enough time for the editors to talk about their favorite products of the week. Kathy, what do you have?
Well, mine is perfect for the beach. It's the Slip Clip from the Slip Clip Company. I can't say that.
Wow.
You,
you
sound
did it,
drunk.
Though.
While you're
actually
that.
What's the company again?
The Slip Clip Company. ASI 91093, and it's a plastic beach towel holder that clips to the back of your chair so your towel's not slipping down and you're not stuck on hot plastic, you know.
Because I get stuck on hot plastic a lot.
Who's this on a plastic chair?
Whatever.
Kathy's
but this is perfect to bundle with towel orders, I was thinking.
It is.
So there you go.
All right, Andy.
I was thinking. All right, Kathy was thinking, and that's dangerous.
Colorless Andy.
Okay, mine would be, my item would be great for outdoor events this summer. It is a Dystruck dog tag that also has a bottle opener. So very cool for all those either tailgating events or outdoor concerts. It comes from EMT, and that's ASI 52263.
Joe Haley.
I feel like one of the women on The Price is Right. Oh, they have a boy now, too, don't they? That does.
They do.
There's
they do
a boy on The Price is Right?
There is?
Yeah. So,
is he cute?
I don't know. I can't comment.
We'll check
He's
him out.
Cute.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Mine's all about packaging. See, so this is a standard box that you get. They're going to put your logo on the front. But for your clients inside, they're going to put die-cast custom cutout so you can put whatever you want in here. So think about that. You have clients. This was actually done for a home builder.
That's very
Someone
nice.
Buys a lot, and they're going to buy a home. You have a bunch of models to choose from. You put a binder in here, which is logoed, and a logoed bottle of wine as well. It makes a nice presentation when you go to meet with them for the first time. But you can do for a lot of different things. Season ticket holders a lot of times get gifts from the teams they're buying
yes,
from.
That's a good idea.
Boxes are good for that. If you have incentive travel trips, you can put a variety of different things in there as well. But anyway, you can find this from the Platform Group Gallery, and they're ASI 78708.
You memorized
all
it?
I did.
Memory.
I did.
Way
and
go,
you can
Joe.
Find them online at
He's the star of
the Platform Group Gallery.com.
All right, and you can check out all those products on our site at asicentral.com/radio. We are out of time. Thanks today for listening. And have a great week. And check out asishow.com to sign up for Education Day with Stephen M.R. Covey. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.